Okay, we're going to start about 7 lines down on Chuf Aleph Amud Aleph. The Gemara here is again discussing the issue of Kiddush Yadayim Raglayim in the Kiyor. The Gemara asks the question, Yibaydahu, Mahu Mekadesh Yadav Raglav B'Kiyor? What's the possibility of being Mekadesh Yadav and Raglav inside of the Kiyor? So the difference, as opposed to using the taps to wash his hands outside of the Kiyor, what about just dipping his hands into the Kiyor? Does that suffice? Does that accomplish the same thing? Does he say, Mimenu Amar Rachmano Velo B'Tocho, that you have to be Mekadesh Yadayim Mimenu from the Kiyor, but not inside the Kiyor? Or Dilma Afilu B'Tocho, or maybe even inside the Kiyor would be good enough. So Amar Rav Nachman Yitzchak Toshma. So this is a braita that we saw yesterday. Osha Taval B'Mei Ma'ara, person who has to wash Yadayim, has yet to do Kiddush Yadayim Raglayim. So the braita said the way he has to do is use a Kli Sharet, he has to use a kiyor inside bifnim in the azara, but otherwise it's not a good kiddush yadayim raglayim. It's not good if he does it with a kli sharet outside the mikdash. Doesn't matter if he uses a kli chol in the mikdash. These are all problematic. One of the views that is problematic with the Braita Brafa is ushatavo b'mei ma'ara. If he dips his hands into a mikveh, then it doesn't vavad v'ratov psulat, and then it has a voda, it's mechulal, as we saw from our Mishnah, that someone who lacks richutz yadayim raglayim is mechalel de avoda. So here you see, if he puts it into a mikveh, no good. Ha? What can you infer from the Braita? What's problematic when you dip your hands into the mikveh? If you dip your hands into the kiyor, similar to the way that you would do it into a mikveh, because if not, then the Braita should have brought that as the example of what is psula. Say, if you wash from the kiyor, good, kshera. If you dip your hands into it, psula. The fact that the Braita doesn't do that, and rather says that if you dip into mei ma'ara, psula, then it shows us that if you dip them into the mei kiyor, kshera. Where it says, no, that you don't have to conclude that. That's not a good diuk. Mei me'ara yitztrichalei. We needed to take just the chiddush of mei me'ara. Why? Shalot tomar kol gufo tovel behen yadav raglav ol kol shekein. Mikveh, as opposed to kior, has a ma'le. The ma'le of a mikveh is that if you were totally tamei, if a person had to be mitaher the whole goof, they could go in the mikveh and they'd be mitaher themselves. So you would think, migo, that it works to mitaher kol gufo, certainly it worked for kiddush yadayim raglayim by dipping your hands in there. The bright that comes to teach you, no. Despite the fact that a mikveh works to be mitaher gufo, it does not work for kiddush yadayim raglayim. But as far as the kior, dipping your hands into the kior, we have no conclusion from this. We don't know what the status would be in terms of dipping your hands into the kior. So Gemara leaves it as inconclusive. Now the Gemara is going to discuss the mei kior, the water that is found inside of the kior. The Gemara wants to know a number of things, and it's going to turn out to be a three-way machloket here between the Amoraim. One is, the mayim that's in the kior, when does it go pasul? How long is it in force? How long is it effective in doing kiddush yadayim raglayim? And number two is, if there is a problem with it, what is that line? Where is the crossover line where it becomes problematic? And is there a way to fix it? So we're going to have now, the Gemara is going to discuss the three-way machlokas. We are going to read now the Gemara according to Rashi. Rashi has an unusual way of reading the Gemara, but using Rashi, we're going to go through the whole sugya. I'll just let you know that Tosfos has two or three other ways to read the sugya, and the Shita Gemara has an additional way. If we have time, maybe we'll go through those other mefarshim, but for right now, we're going to suffice with Rashi's interpretation of the Gemara. So Amar Rabbi Chiya bar Yosef, mei kior, when it comes to the mayim, the water that's inside of the kior, nifsalim lematirim kematirim, levarim kevarim. So Rabbi Chiya bar Yosef gives us two different categories about which the mei kior are effective. One has to do kiddush yadayim raglayim for any avodah in the mikdash. Now Rabbi Chiya bar Yosef divides the avodah in the mikdash into two broad categories. One is called avodat matirim. Avodat matirim are things like avodat adam, avodat hakimatzim, things that are only done during the daytime. Avodot that are only kasher to do during the daytime in the mikdash. He has a second category of items, which are avodat evarim. That deals with the evarim. Those are the evarim darim. Those are the avodah that are kasher both during the day and at night. As we say in Tfilat HaShachar, that when it comes to Mariv, that they instituted Mariv, kineged evarim darim. That the avodah in the mikdash of doing the evarim darim, putting them on the mizbeach overnight, that is what Mariv is kineged. So that avodah, what we call it, avodat laila, is avodat evarim b'tarim, and it can be done during the day or night. We have another category like avodat yom, or avodat matirim, which is the avodat adam nekmatzim. And Rabbi Chiya bar Yosef says, well, the mei kior is affected by each one. that the kiyor, the mayim in the kiyor, is only good for daytime avoda during the day. That means when as soon as the sun sets, the water in the kiyor becomes pasul or lina for any avodat yom. From the time you cross over, if the water is still in the kiyor at the time that the sun sets, it can no longer be used for kiddush yadayim v'raglayim when it comes to avodat yom. On the other hand, when it comes to evarim, the evarim affect the water the same way that their time span is. Their time span is all day and all night. And therefore, the water in the kiyor will be fine for rechutz yadayim raglayim for that day as well as that night until alot ha-shachar, until amud ha-shachar, until the dawn of the next morning. The dawn of the next morning, you start a new day. Then it's pasul b'lina like any other lina in the mikdash. So, Rabbi Chiya bar Yosef makes two distinctions, or two different categories. One is Shkia is the cutoff line for Avodat Yom, and Amud HaShachar is the cutoff line for Avodat Laila. And that means that, number one, if the water crosses over Shkia, any water that's found in the kiyor can no longer be used for Kiddush Yadayim Raglayim for Avodat Yom. That means the next day, you can't use that water. The water still remains kasher for Avodat Evarim Tarim, that's both for that night, and possibly for the next day. Now, if he crosses, the water is still there in Alot HaShachar, then it will also be pasul, that water would be lina, like any other lina in the Mikdash, and you couldn't use it even for Rechutz Yadayim Raglayim, even for Vodat Evarim, even for the secondary type of Vodat, the Vodat that is done during the night and day, you can't even use it for that. Now, how do you prevent it from coming lina? So there is a way in the Mikdash to prevent lina from happening, and that is what's called Shok Oba Bor, that you take it and you drop the kiyor, house the water up top. Below was either a cistern or a spring that brought water into the kiyor. They had a way, a pulley system that allowed you to drop the water in the kiyor back down into the bore. As long as the water is down in the cistern or is attached to mayan below, it is not pasul belina. So according to this, for Rabbi Chiya bar Yosef, if you want to solve the problem of the mei kiyor, you have to put it down below before Shkia. If you put the water down below Shkia, before Shkia, then the water is kasher to be used the next morning for Avodat Yom and Avodat Laila. There's no psul in the water because it never crossed over any of those thresholds while it was still in the kiyor, it was down below. Now, if he takes the water up, he brings up water during the nighttime, then it's problematic right away. It's good for Avodat Laila, but it'll be problematic for the morning. As Rashi says, doesn't matter whether you brought it, it was still there during Shkia, but anytime it's brought up during the night, that's problematic for Avodat Yom. So if you bring up water to wash, to do Avodat at night, that water then will be pasul to be used for Kiddush Yadayim Raglayim the next day for Avodat Yom. Now, if you place the kiyor down below, before Shkia, and you leave it there until after Amud HaShachar, when you bring the water back up, it'll be fine, you can use it for daytime Avodah and nighttime Avodah. On the other hand, if the water crosses over the threshold of Shkia, then it becomes pasul to be used for daytime Avodah. And there's no solving the problem. There's no solving that problem, as Rashi points out over here. It tells us in the Shittim Mekubetzet that even once you've crossed over the threshold and it's already been pasul belina, or some form of lina, you can't just dip it back in the boar and that'll solve your problem. Even though in mikvot, and generally in the dine mikvot, when it comes to be mitaher mayim, you have drinkable, potable water that you want to be mitaher. The mikveh is not water that's drinkable. So, but you have this tamei water, you want to make it tahor. So what you can do is something called nishika. You can submerge the cup that's filled to the top with drinkable, potable water, you can submerge it entirely into the mikveh, and then the nishika. The fact that the water of the mikveh touches the water that's in the cup, that makes it tahor the gamrei. And when you take it out, the potable water remains in the cup, and you can drink it, and it's totally tahor. So you would think, possibly, that there is such a concept here by Kodesh. Well, come Shita Mekubetz said, those folks point out, there is no neshika by Kodesh. If it came pasul belina, and you drop it into the boar, that will not solve your problem. So now, if you cross over the threshold of Shkia, then you can only use the water for Kiddush Yadayim Raglayim for Avodat Evarim Ubdarim. That Avodat is kosher b'yom v'layla. Now, it comes to Alot HaShachar. If you submerge the water before Alot HaShachar, then that water will be kasher the next day to be used for Avodat Evarim Ubdarim. Because you got it under before Alot HaShachar, and then it didn't become lina for that type of Avodah. Then if you cross over the threshold of Alot HaShachar, and the water's still above, and it's not down below, then it'll be Pasul Lagamre. You cannot use that water for Yechitz Yadayim Raglayim at all. I sent out a chart here, just to, it's four pages, just laying out the sugya. This is this Rav Chiya bar Yosef, you can see, is the first sheet over here, that there's a difference between the matirim, which are affected by shkia, the evarim, that are affected by amud HaShachar, and then the different possible scenarios, depending on whether he was shokea or not shokea, the mayim. The next opinion is the opinion of Rav Chista. Rav Chista mar, af the matirim, There is no such differentiation, according to Rav Chisda, between Evarim and Matirim. There is only one time, one threshold for Lina in the Mikdash, and that's Alot HaShachar. That's like any other thing in the Mikdash, any other piece of Kodesh in the Mikdash. Alot HaShachar is the threshold by which you determine if something's Lina or not. And that doesn't matter for Avodat Yom or for Avodat Laila. So basically, what Rav Chisda suggests over here is, if there's water in the Kior that crosses over Amud HaShachar, then that water becomes Pasul, for Avodat Yom and Avodat Laila. It's no good anymore if it crosses over Alot HaShachar. If you submerge the Mei Kior prior to Amud HaShachar, then that water the next day can be used both for Avodat Yom and for Avodat Laila. So according to Rav Chisda, there's only one threshold. That threshold is Alot HaShachar, as opposed to Rav Chir Bar Yosef, sees two thresholds, one at Shkia and one at Alot HaShachar. Now we have the third opinion, which is Rabbi Yochanan, and Rabbi Yochanan is somewhat ambiguous, and that's what the Gemara is going to spend its time now trying to understand what is it exactly that Rabbi Yochanan said. Rabbi Yochanan Amar Kior, Kevin Sheshak'o, Shuv Enu Malehu. Rabbi Yochanan says that once the Kior is put down, the May Kior is put down below into the Bor, we don't bring it up anymore. So if we don't bring it up anymore, what does that mean? When did you put it down? And what does it mean that you can't bring it up? So we're going to start here with Rashi. Rashi says, Kasal Kadatcho. This is what the Gemara thinks at this point in time, which is the Memra, the Avodat Laila Nami Lo Chazi. That means that you cannot use the water at night. I mean that you have to submerge it. At this point in time, we are suggesting or thinking that Rabbi Yochanan believes you have to submerge the water before Shkia, and then you cannot bring the water up during that nighttime. The water is not usable for the Kiddush Yadayim Raglayim during nighttime. If it's brought up, it would be problematic. So, Amar, don't we have another statement by Rabbi Yochanan? This is, if you're looking at the charts on page 2, that's laid out. Amar Rab Asi, Amar Rabbi Yochanan, this we saw on yesterday's daf, Mishmei de Ilfa, Kior, Shalosh Shak Omi Be'erif, a Kior that was not submerged before Shkia. You can still use that water for nighttime avoda. But the next day you can't use it for a kiddush adayim or glayim. So if that's the case, it sounds clear from Rabbi Yochanan that there's no problem with using the mayim at night. Our first havamina was that there would be a problem for using the mayim at night, even if you submerged it before Shkia. If you brought it up any time during the night, it'd be problematic. But we have another statement by Rabbi Yochanan. It says clearly that if you have water that crossed over the threshold of Shkia, that you can use it for nighttime avoda. So that cannot be the opinion of Rabbi Yochanan. So what do? We say, okay, let's understand what it means, Shuvenu Maleu. The Gemara says, well, I'll explain to you what Shuvenu Maleu, we have to read a different way, is Ela Mai Enu Maleu, that you don't bring it up. Nami de Kamar Labudat Yom. That once you've submerged the water down below before Shkia, then that will help for terms of Avodat Yom. That protects the water. If you bring it up anytime during the night, it's going to be problematic for Avodat Yom. But if you leave it there all night submerged until Alot HaShachar, that'll be fine. You can use it for Avodat Yom. On the other hand, if you bring it up during the night, or you cross over the threshold of Shkia, that water is still good to be used at night for Avodat Laila or for Avodat Evarim Darim until you reach Alot HaShachar. Once you cross over Alot HaShachar, it's not going to be good for the next day at all. So now, wait, let's think about that. If that's really what Rabbi Yochanan is saying now, that we think that anytime you bring it up during the night, the water is problematic for the next day, that means that Rabbi Yochanan basically has two thresholds. He has the threshold of Shkia. Shkia is the threshold for Avodat Yom. And there's a second threshold called Amud HaShachar, which is the threshold for the nighttime, for Rechitza Yadayim Raglayim, for Evarim Darim. That sounds exactly like Chiya Bar Yosef. And that's what the Gemara says. Now, if that's the case, if that's the way you're going to read it, Ihochi, I know the Rabbi Chiya Bar Yosef. Rabbi Yochanan has the identical opinion to Chiya Bar Yosef. So why would Rabbi Yochanan be arguing? We have a three-way machlokas here. What's Rabbi Yochanan coming to add if he really just says exactly what Chir Bar Yosef says? So when it says, no, Ike Beinayu Gezerat Shikua. The difference between them is the Gezerat Shikua. This is actually the major point of where the Rishonim argue. We're going to go with Rashi's Pshat. Rashi's Pshat actually says that the Gemara, without telling us over here, will switch Rabbi Yochanan's opinion now to be like Rav Chisda. And that's how we're going to solve the problem. The other Rishonim say, no, wait, the Gemara doesn't switch to Rav Chisda until much later. We're going to see again later in the Gemara. So that can't be the case over here. And therefore, they read this Gemara differently. But we're going to go with Rashi right now. So Rashi says, what's the difference between them? Gzerat Shikua. So that means that Rabbi Yochanan, according to the Gemara at this point, holds like Rav Chisda. He holds like Rav Chisda that there's only one threshold for the psul of Mekior. That threshold is Amud HaShachar. So that means Rabbi Yochanan Savar like Rav Chisda that Halat Laila Eino Poslam Levadat Machar. If you bring up the water at night, it's not a problem. You can use it the next day as long as you get it submerged before Alot HaShachar. The only cutoff is Alot HaShachar. If you get it in, im shakol lifnei elot hashachar, then the make kiyor tomorrow, kosher l'kiddush yom, v'layla, you can do it for anything you want with it. Now, what's the statement before? We have the statement Rabbi Yochanan before that said that not only is it good for nighttime avoda, and then it could be good for the morning if you get it in below, before elot hashachar, we have the statement Rabbi Yochanan says that kevet shashako shuveni maleu, that once you put it down, putting it down, we say as before shkia. If you put it down before shkia, it doesn't bring it up again. What's that speaking about? So that's what the Gemara says here, is gezeret shikua. That's a mitzvah. The mitzvah, according to Rabbi Yochanan, is l'shakea mikior before the shkia. Even though, if you kept it out all night, and put it in mishokea before lomo the shachar, it'd be perfectly fine. Nevertheless, Rabbi Yochanan says, I want you to put it down below before shkia. Why? Because if you don't put it down before shkia, someone's going to forget to put it down before alot teshachar. If it's down before shkia, then anytime a kohen comes to wash his hands during the night, he'll have to raise the water, and he'll remember that he's raising it, it needs to go back down, and he'll place it back down again. So we won't worry about it being a mistake. Shema Yipasha, maybe he'll make a mistake and leave it up. And then he's goreim tumar psul to kodshim. We want to protect kodshim from coming to psul. So how do we do that? We say, shkia, put it down. How do we ensure that there's no problem? And we say, put it down below. Put it below. When you put it down below, then we're sure that anytime you take it up during the night, you're going to put it back down again. That would be the opinion of Rabbi Yochanan. According to Rabbi Chiya bar Yosef, Chiya bar Yosef believes, first of all, there are two thresholds. Again, this is the Shita Rashi that now Rabbi Yochanan is holding like Rabbi Chista. According to Rabbi Chiya, there's still the two thresholds, one of Shkia and then one of Elot HaShachar. And therefore, it's a real threshold. According to him, Shikua, according to Rechir by Yosef, is an absolute must. If you don't do Shikua, if you don't place it down below before Shkia, the water becomes problematic for Avodat Yom from after that point in time. Rabbi Yochanan says, no, it's fine after that time. I want you to put it down below before that Shkia, in order to ensure that it's down there before Alot HaShachar. So according to Rabbi Yochanan, it's just a mitzvah, gzeira, to make sure that the Shikua is down below. That's why you do it for Shkia. According to Rabbi Chiya, it's an absolute must to get it down before Shkia, in order that it won't be pasul for Kiddush Yadayim Raglayim the next day. So that's the way the Gemara explains it according to Rashi, and the reason they pick Shkia, why do Rabbi Yochanan pick Shkia, is because it's a clear demarcation. If you say middle of the night, Chatzol, the third of the night, nobody's going to remember. Those aren't lines that are clearly demarcated. Shkia is a clearly demarcated line. It's a time when the Avodah changes over in the Mikdash. It's a time when the sun sets. It's a clear period of time. If you put it down below, it'll be a defined time when the Kohanim put it below. So now the Gemara says, wait a minute, can you really say this? Bama Rabbi Yochanan. So we have another statement by Rabbi Yochanan, which we also had on yesterday's daf, which is, Kiddush Yadav L'Trumat HaDeshen. Someone who washes his hands for Trumat HaDeshen, then the Machar Ein Tzarich L'Kadesh. Then Trumat HaDeshen is done before Alot HaShachar. So here he's washing his Yadayim before Alot HaShachar. He does not need to wash his hands again after Alot HaShachar. So yesterday we discussed Machlokas Abaye and Rava. How do we explain this? Abaye said this is according to the opinion of Rabbi, and that Rabbi believes that by psulina of the hands, it's only a din d'rabbanan, and he says that the psul for Yadayim begins at quote together, begins at the beginning of the Avodat Hayom, not from the time period of Alot HaShachar. On the other hand, Rava said no. The author of this position, or this position, Rabbi Yochanan, is according to Rabbi Lazar, Rabbi Shimon, who says that there is no psulina by Yadayim. And that's what we're speaking about here. So that's, we're bringing this. So what's the Gemara's question from this? Because it says, Ein tzarich l'kadesh kvar kiddush mitchilat avodah. He doesn't have to do another kiddush because he started beginning baruch. So now, what's going on over here? It sounds like, we're just going to point out here, that he brought the water up to do kiddush yadayim v'raglayim. If he brought the water up, the water's up above before alot hashachar. Yet the braita never says that he has to put the water back down. That means that the water is going to be above as he crosses over the line of alot hashachar. So how could you claim that Rabbi Yochanan believes that the threshold is alot hashachar, like Rav Chista, this is what Rashi was saying, because we don't see a threshold here. In this part of the Gemara, this braita, Rabbi Yochanan seems to say there's no threshold of alot hashachar. You bring up the water, it quote Geber, everything's fine. And Rashi points out, you can't say here that Krota Geber can be, you can extend Krota Geber or extend Lina back when we're talking about Dine Derabonin. Psul Lina Derabonin is talking about hands. But when we're talking about the Mekior itself, which is a Psul Lina Doraisa, there you can't talk about Krota Geber. You have to be talking about Amud HaShachar. So it sounds from this that Rabbi Yochanan has no threshold whatsoever when it comes to the Mekior. So now the Gemara says, on page 3 in the charts, which is now, it says, Bishlomo the Rava. We can explain this according to Rava. According to Rava, it's not a problem. Why? The Mukim Lahayki Rav Lazar Rabbi Shimon. Rava, who said that statement of Rabbi Yochanan about the Trumat HaDeshen is according to Rav Lazar Rabbi Shimon, then that's fine. Because Ha Karabi. Then our case over here, the Gemara over here, is talking about Rabbi. So then we can differentiate. Basically, the question of Ilfo that was raised on the previous daf, which was, is it Kach Machlok Bezu? Ken Machlok Bezu? Just like there's a machlokas by yadayim, is there also a machlokas by mekior or not? So here we have the solution. The answer is yes. Just like Rabbi Elazar, Rabbi Shimon believes that yadayim, there's no lina by yadayim, he also believes there's no lina by the mekior. And just like Rabbi believes that there is lina by yadayim, he also believes there's lina by mekior. And that will explain the differences in Rabbi Yochanan's opinion. This statement of Rabbi Yochanan here is according to Rabbi Elazar and Rabbi Shimon, and therefore there's no threshold. He brings the water up to wash for the Trumat HaDeshim for Lashach, he doesn't have to put it back down. It's not going to become puzzle. Make your doesn't become puzzle, his hands don't become puzzle. On the other hand, the two statements before Rabbi Yochanan seem to indicate there's a threshold of Alot HaShachar. That's according to Rabbi. Rabbi, who believes there's a psul lina by Yadayim, also believes there's a psul lina by Mekior. And therefore, there's a threshold of Alot HaShachar. So according to Rabbi, we can easily explain the stira in Rabbi Yochanan and say one of the statements of Rabbi Yochanan is according to Rabbi Elazar and Rabbi Shimon. The other statements of Rabbi Yochanan according to Rabbi. On the other hand, Abaye says that the case on yesterday's daf, the case on the top of this Amud, is talking about a case, the Trumat HaDeshim, the case of Rabbi. That means Rabbi's the author of both positions. If Rabbi's the author of both positions, now we have a problem. Abaye the Mukun like Rabbi, Kasha the Rabbi of the Rabbi. Now you're going to have a stira in Rabbi. You're going to have a stira. One case we say that Rabbi says Alot HaShachar is the threshold. And the other case we're saying that Rabbi says bring up the water for the Trumat HaDeshim, no problem. You don't have to put it back down. So how are we going to explain this? It says, Maishna Hotom, Dim Mishakile. What's the difference in the previous Talmud where we said that Rabbi Yochanan says you got to put it back down and you got to leave it in the boar? Over here in the case that we just brought over here, we're saying the lo mishakulei, that you don't have to put it back down. You bring it up for Trumat HaDeshim, you don't have to return it there. So the Gemara says, no, the Masalik Leiv, other Mishmashkile, in Ochanami. That's what you have to do here. The case here, even though it doesn't say it, he brings it up for the Trumat HaDeshim and then he puts it right back down. So that's not a problem. That's how we're going to explain this, Brisa. What happened to the whole Gzeira here? We said before that Rabbi Yochanan's worried if we bring up the water, we're going to worry about it putting it back down. So that's what Rashi explains here. There's a difference. There's a difference in the timing. If it's the beginning of the night or the middle of the night, he brings up water, the water's going to get left there all night. People are going to be washing from it, they're going to be using it. Nobody's going to think about putting it back down because of the long duration to the night left. Therefore, if we're shokeyed at shkia, every time he has to wash, he's going to bring it up and remember to put it down. But when it comes to Trumat HaDeshim, that's immediately before Alot HaShachar. That's right then. If he brings it up for Alot HaShachar, we know for sure he's going to put it back down because he knows Alot HaShachar is impending. So there's a big difference between bringing it up by Alot HaShachar. There we don't have to have any gzeira, we don't have to worry about it. Of course he's going to put it back down, it's right before Alot HaShachar. When it comes to the earlier part of the night, there we're worried if he brings it up or if we leave it up, then nobody's going to put it back down, and there's going to be yivsha and yigrom psul to the waters. Therefore, Rabbi Yochanan says, put the water down up front in order that you can then remind yourself every time you take the water up in the middle of the night that you're going to put it back down. So at this point in time, the Gemara is assuming that Rabbi Yochanan, the statement over here, is only talking about Kiddush Yadayim Raglaim. When it comes to Kiddush Yadayim Raglaim, since he didn't address the problem of submerging it again, it's not talking about the Mekior. It's talking about is washing your hands. When it comes to washing your hands, there he believes there's no Lina Biyadayim. So there's no Lina Biyadayim. That's why we're talking about the case here. No problem. Trumat HaDeshim, you wash it, you cross over Alot HaShachar, that's no problem. It starts from Krot HaGever according to Rabbi. But the case before, on the previous Amud, the case of Rabbi Yochanan, that was talking about the Mekior themselves. When it comes to the Mekior themselves, there will be a threshold, there will be a problem when it comes to the Mekior themselves. So Al Gemara says, well, let's understand this. If that's the case, then Amud HaShachar is clearly the threshold for Rabbi Yochanan, because over here he says, by the Yadayim, it's okay if you do it from Krot HaGever. But Mekior would be Pasul in Amud HaShachar. Well, let's look back at the statement of Rabbi Yochanan on the previous Amud. When Yofa quotes him, it says, Amud Rabbi Yochanan Mishmei de Yofa Kior Shalosh Shak Omi Ba'erev. He has to put it down at Shkia, Mekadesh Min Olavadat Lailu Machar Inu Mekadesh. Why can't he be Mekadesh from it the next day? If he submerges it before Alot HaShachar, why isn't it good? Why does Rabbi Yochanan require you to submerge it before Erev? So now he seems to have a stira. We have an oral Amud that says, Yadayim are Kasherim, there's no Pasul Lina Ba, Yadayim, as long as you start from Krot HaGever. And number two, when it comes to Mekior, the threshold is Amud HaShachar. You turn back the Amud before and you look at the bottom and you see Rabbi Yochanan B'Shem Ilfa is saying that the threshold seems to be Shkia because he has to be Shoko Mi Be'erev. Again, he seems to have a steer in Rabbi Yochanan. Is it Shkia or is it Elot HaShachar? If that's the case, why the Macharinu Mikadesh? Why can't you be Mikadesh from it if you brought it up at night and put it down before the Elot HaShachar? So am I. Sumer says, Ein tzarich the kadesh machar. That's what it means. You should rewrite that brayta. That brayta is also talking about netilat yadayim, and it says that evish kevin shakir shalosh shakol mi be'erev mekadesh v'menu lo v'dat laila. You can use it for the laila ulamachar, and the next day ein tzarich the kadesh or the ein tzarich the kadesh machar. You don't have to do another washing because you washed at night. That washing at night will go through the next day, assuming it's at Krot HaGever according to Rabbi and according to Rabbi Elazar ben Shimon. As long as you did a washing at night, that will keep going through the night. So we're rereading the statement of Rabbi Yochanan also in the previous space is speaking about Kiddush Yadayim V'Raglayim. So in both cases of Kiddush Yadayim V'Raglayim, if you wash, there's no psulina by Yadayim. But when it comes to the Mei Kior, Ein Ochanayim, there is a psul. So going back to Ilfa from yesterday's Daf, who asked, if is it, kind of, but just like there's a machlokas here, is there a machlokas there? Just like there's a machlokas when it comes to the Yadayim, whether it's Lina, is there a machlokas by Mei Kior? Over here, the Gemara is saying no. That's not that way. Rabbi Lazar will hold that when it comes to Yadayim, in Ochanami, you don't need to be Mekadesh again. When it comes to the Mei Kior, Rabbi Lazar will agree to Rabbi that there is a din of Lina. When is that din of Lina? That is at the Lota Shachar. And that's how we're explaining Rabbi Yochanan right now. The case is, this statement of Rabbi Yochanan at Trumat Adeshin says that if you wash at night, and then you go through the morning, you don't have to wash again. The previous statement from Ilfo, which sounded like return to make yours, says no. If you don't put in it at night, then you can only use it, wash it from that at night. If you wash from it at night, then you don't have to wash for it again from tomorrow. So that's again, like Rabbi Lazar is talking about Kiddush Yadayim Raglayim. What about the first statement of Yochanan, which says that Kior, Kevin Shishako, Enu Malei, when you put it down, you don't bring it back up again. That sounds like there is a threshold. That's talking about the Mei Kior. The Mei Kior do have a threshold of Alota Shachar. So now the Gemara says, well, if Mayim has a threshold of Alota Shachar, that's Hainu de Rav Chista. Now Rabbi Yochanan sounds exactly like Rabbi Chista. When it comes to Mei Kior, the threshold is Alota Shachar. And that's exactly what Rabbi Yochanan is saying over here. He's saying exactly what Rav Chista had said on the previous Amud. Sorry, Amai. Ein tzarich lekadesh lemachar. You just reread it to read Ein kadesh lemachar, which means that it's talking about Kiddush Yadayim Raglayim, the Memra, the Lematirim, Bech Mechsechazi. That sounds like that Kiddush Yadayim Raglayim at night will work for the Avodah the next day, even though you're doing it at night. Hainu de Rav Chista. That's like Rav Chista who says the threshold is Alota Shachar. Where it says, Ike Beinayu Mitzvat Shikua. The difference between them is the Mitzvah of Shikua. And this again, the differentiation. Rabbi Yochanan believes there's a Mitzvah L'Shakeh Me'erev. It's a Mitzvah to put it down into the boar at the Shkia time. Kadesh Yimtzah Meshukah, the time that he comes up to do the Trumat Hadesh in the morning, he'll find it submerged, he'll take it up, and then he'll put it back down. A reminder to put it down beforehand. Rav Chista, there is no such Gzeir. We don't worry about it. The Mei Kior can stay out all night. They can be used up and down all night, no problems. Just right before Amud Shachar, you got to put it down. So that's the difference between whether it's a mitzvah to ensure that it was Shakua by the time of Shkia. That's the difference in their opinions. Now, Rav Chista says, don't worry about it. Alot HaShachar is the cutoff. Just make sure it's down before Alot HaShachar. Rabbi Yochanan says, you're right. Alot HaShachar is the cutoff, but I want to prevent it from being a psul. I want to prevent it from when they bring it up for Trumat Hadesh to wash, which is a kosher washing, because there's no psulina by Yadayim. Nevertheless, the water could become psul. You need to put it back down. How do I remind them to put it back down? I tell them to do Bishokea by Shkia at that time. So that would be the explanation. That's on page 4 of the charts. You can see that they're laid out according to Abaye, what the opinion of Rabbi Yochanan is. So in the end, Rabbi Yochanan will hold like Rav Chista, according to Abaye, and he'll just have one difference. Rav Chista is whether it's a mitzvah to be shokeyet by the Shkia. According to Rava, there's no steer in Rabbi Yochanan, because one of them is Rabbi, one is Rabbi Lozab, Rabbi Shimon, and that made the difference between them. According to Rava, that the opinion will be, just like there's a machlokas by Lina by Yadayim between Rabbi Lazar, Rabbi Shimon, and Rabbi, so too there's a machlokas by Mei Kior. According to Abaye, that will not be the case. Even though there's a machlokas by Yadayim, Rabbi Lazar, Rabbi Shimon agrees when it comes to the Mei Kior that there is a psul Lina. And that will be the din. In the Ilfa's question, Rabba is going to say, yes, you're right. Just like there's a machlokas here, there's a machlokas there. And Abaye is going to say, no, that the machlokas is only by Yadayim, but Mei Kior, everybody agrees. So now the Gemara says, wait a minute, let's look at this. There's a Mishnah, Lo Yoruim Oto. We saw this yesterday in the Mishnah in Tamid, that says that they didn't see. The person went up to do the Trumat Hadeshen, they were not able to see him, Velo Shamim Et Kolo, and they did not hear his voice because it was the middle of the night. And it was still dark out when they went up. It's Krota Gever, it's before dawn. The way that he got up there was that he used the light from the Maracha. He used the light from the Mizbeach to guide his way up. But how did the Kohanim, who were waiting to run in, as we said yesterday, do the Hatzad Hadeshen, how did they know that he got there? So they used to say, Velo Shamim Et Kolo, Ad She Yish. So this is the Muchni L'Kior. He created a pulley and gear system to raise the water out of the bore down below up into the Kior. So that's what this was done by Ben Katin. And when they used to run the pulley system to raise it, it used to make a tremendous amount of noise. So how did the other Kohanim know that he got into the Kior? They heard him pulling up the pulleys so that they could hear him going there. So now, what does it say? Behein Omrim. And when they hear him doing that, Higya Eit Kiddush Yadayim Raglayim Min HaKior. He must be washing from his hands from the Kior, and now it's time for us to go in and follow him and do our Kiddush Yadayim Raglayim, and then we will do the Otzad Hadeshen after he completes the Trumat Hadeshen. So my love, what's the case over here? What's the story here? Demisalically, he's bringing it up, meaning that you have to use the pulley and the gear system to raise the water out of the bore. Alma, Mishakile. Sounds like that they had to be, it had to be submerged beforehand. So according to Rav Chisda, how can we say that you don't have to be submerged until Lod HaShachar? Here you show up in the Mikdash, and the way that they knew that the Kohen had reached the point of washing his hands for Tshumat Adeshen was that he was raising the water. Why was the water down below? According to Rav Chisda, you only have to lower the water after Tshumat Adeshen, right before Lod HaShachar. That makes sense according to Rabbi Yochanan, who says that they did it Mibah Erev. But according to Rav Chisda, how are you going to explain this Mishnah in Tamid? So the Gemara says, well, no, Damashkile. He was actually depositing it. The sound that was made here is from him. The water was still up there. He washed his hands from the water that was up there because it's not Pasul Belina until Mod HaShachar. And then he submerged the water afterwards, and that's what made the noise. Where it says, Damashkile. If he's really submerging the water, then why do you hear the sound? You need the pulley system and the gears to raise the water, and that's what makes the noise. But when you release it, you just hit the release, and the bucket drops down to the bottom. You don't have to do any exertion. You don't have to use the pulley system in order to lower the bucket down. So where's the noise over here? Where it says that mishakile begilgula, that he actually lowered it with the gear and the pulley system. He actually made an effort to lower it. He didn't just hit the release. He lowered it down with the gear and the pulley system so that it would make noise in order to wake the people up. Lishna achrino, we have another lashon that says, the mashkele bechumrate, that here, either the one way to read it is like Rashi reads it over here, that chumrate and gilgalata are synonymous. And that's the lishna achrino, says that he dropped it down with the gears and the pulleys in order that, kehechidid lishtame kale, in order that it will be loud and make a noise, but the shame and the other kohanim will hear him, and then they'll come to do the avoda. What about the crier that used to be in the Mikdash? There was a gentleman called Gvine, who was an excellent crier, who says, Kol Na'avoda Sabayre, he used to call out, and his voice used to wake up the Kohanim and all the people in Yushalayim. So why do you need the Mukhni, why do you need the gear system in the water, in the Kior, in order to wake people up? You had another, we had this, the crier that used to wake everybody up. He was the alarm clock. So Gemara says, Beit Shrei Hekeri Havu. There were two alarm clocks. It was a backup. Vaha, the Shama Mehai Ati. The one who heard from this would come. Vashama Mehai Ati. And the one who heard from the other one would come. I mean, the different alarm clocks, different people are affected by different noises. So when the noise of the Mukhni, or raising the, or lowering the water back into the bore, that noise would wake people up. And they also had the crier, or the caller, who was also calling out to wake everybody up. So he had a double system of wake up. One of the crier, one of the Mukhni, and therefore it's not a problem. That's why they did it. So then, according to Rav Chisda, the noise was made by the lowering of the water back into the bore, so it would not become Pasul Belina. And it made noise because he lowered it with the gear system in order to ensure that it made noise. Ah, we already have a wake-up system. Now worry about it. We have a double wake-up system. We have a backup for the wake-up system. The other possibility, or explained addition to the show note, is the Gilgala was the pulley and the wheel system. And the Chumrata was made out of a system that allowed it to go down, and the dropping of the stone is what caused the noise to be there. But either way, it's the same meaning, which is that the lowering of the Kimekior back into the boar was what caused the noise, not the raising of it, according to Rav Chisda. Okay, we'll stop over here.